Kṛtaṁ yadā nārāyaṇā yeti jagāda catarakṣaraṁ etena. By this chanting, evan, indeed, he, certainly, aghona, who possesses sinful reactions, asya, of this ajamila, kritam, performed, syat, is, agha, of sins, nishkritam, complete atonement, yada, when, Narayana, O Narayana, the name of his son, Aya, please come, iti, thus, Jagada, he chanted, Chatuk Aksharam, the four syllables, Narayana. Translation. The Vishnu Dutas continued, even previously, while eating and at other times, this Ajamila would call his son, saying, my dear Narayana, please come here. Although calling the name of his son, he nevertheless uttered the four syllables, Narayana. Simply by chanting the name of Narayana in this way, he sufficiently atoned for the sinful reactions of millions of lives. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Previously, when engaged in sinful activities to maintain his family, Ajamila chanted the name of Narayana without offenses. To chant the holy name of the Lord just to counteract one's sinful activities or to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name is offensive. Namno balad yasya hi papa buddhi. But although Ajamila engaged in sinful activities, he never chanted the holy name of Narayan to counteract them. He simply chanted the name of Narayan to call his son. Therefore, his chanting was effective. Because of chanting the holy name of Narayana in this way, he had already vanquished the accumulated sinful reactions of many, many lives. In the beginning he was pure, but although he later committed many sinful acts, he was offenseless because he did not chant the holy name of Narayan to counteract them. One who always chants the holy name of the Lord without offenses is always pure. As confirmed in this verse, Ajamila was already sinless, and because he chanted the name of Narayana, he remained sinless. It did not matter that he was calling his son. The name itself was effective. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Darati Sopirantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamane Namaste Sarasati Devaya Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarni. Ete naiva hyugonosya kritam syad aghanishkritam yada narayanayeti jagara chaturaksharam. The Vishnu Dutas continued, even previously while eating and at other times, this Ajamila would call his son saying, "My dear Narayana, please come here." Although calling the name of his son, he nevertheless uttered the four syllables Narayana. Simply by chanting the name of Narayana in this way, he sufficiently atoned for the sinful reactions of millions of lives. So we're very fortunate today to have the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the Association of Pure Devotees. Hear the Vishnu Dutas conversation with the Yamadutas is continuing. For those of you who've missed the earlier classes, here Ajamil was born a Brahmin, was very pure in the beginning of his life, but he became bewildered and married a prostitute and had many children, and the youngest child was named Narayan. Because of his previous activities as a Brahmin, he had some attraction for this name of Narayan, so he named his youngest son Narayan. And he was 80-some years old when Narayan was born. And he was very much attached to this youngest son. So he was always calling for his son, "Oh, please, Narayan, you come from the lap of your mother, come and sit in my lap. Oh, Narayan, please come here. Oh, Narayan, I'm eating now, you please eat with me." So all this, repeatedly he was chanting the name of Narayan. And the Yamadutas, and then when the Yamadutas came, when it was time for him to leave that body, the Yamadutas came to take him to Yamaraj. And the Vishnudutas came and said, no. "You can't do that. He doesn't have it. He's sinless." And the Yamadutas were very much surprised, because in Chitragupta's book, so many things supposedly had been written according to their perception. But the Vishnudutas explained that no, because he was chanting all the time Narayan, so all his sinful reactions were destroyed. So here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is making a clear distinction between Namabhas and Namaparad. And it's very important that those who are sadhakas, those who are aspiring to serve the Supreme Lord Krishna, they should understand the difference between Namabhas and Namaparad. Namaparad, the holy name is always pure. The holy name of the Lord is always pure. But if one chants the holy name with some motivation, he has material desires, he desires liberation, he is aspiring for dharma, artha, kama, moksha, the four goals of human life, and he's chanting with the aspiration that, yes, by chanting, then I will achieve dharma or artha or kama or moksha. Then he will, this is called namaparad. This is offensiveness. One, the holy name, well, the shastras describe many processes for achieving dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. One can worship the demigods. One can perform austerities and penances. One can meditate on the Supreme Brahman. So by these processes, one can achieve dharma, artha, kama, moksha. But the chanting of the holy name is not of that category. The chanting of the holy name is something different. So if one thinks that the holy name is simply there to give dharma, artha, kama, moksha, then that is offensive. Because the holy name can give bhakti. It can give deliverance to the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is an offensive mentality. So there's another stage. So if one chants the holy name simply to please Krishna, simply to, as a prayer to Krishna, to please allow, oh Krishna, please allow me to serve you, then this is Shuddhanam. This is pure chanting. There's no aparad in that kind of chanting. But if one chants in order to achieve liberation or material desires, or if one wants to commit sin and says, okay, I'm going to commit sin, and then the chanting of the holy name can relieve sin. So I'll commit sin and then I'll chant the holy name and then my sinful reactions will go away. I will not have to be punished by Yamaraj. Then this is also offensiveness. Similarly, to offend Vaishnava, to think that a Vaishnava is some ordinary person, he can be criticized, this is also an offense to the holy name. Similarly, there's 10 offenses to be avoided. So if one chants purely without these 10 offenses and simply desiring to serve Krishna, then this is Shuddhanam. But there's in between Shuddhanam and Namaparad is what's called Namabhas. Namabhas means, Abhas means dim reflection or shadow. So there's some stage in between where one is neither offensive to the holy name nor is one aspiring for the service of Krishna. One, by good fortune, simply chants the holy name without any motivation, without any and without any aspiration for bhakti, then this is called namabhas. And this namabhas, Hare Krishna, this namabhas is so powerful that it can destroy all sins. So namaparad, the result of namaparad is that one becomes separated from Krishna. And one accumulates, one has to suffer the reactions for that aparad, and the reactions to aparads are even worse than the reactions to sins. And if one chants with a desire to serve Krishna, then the result of that is one achieves bhakti. And all one's sins are destroyed. But to chant Nama Bas, one may not achieve bhakti, but one's sins are destroyed. So, we should understand this difference. There's some terms are used in the Shastra which are important to understand. If there's some object such as the sun or some bright object, it has two capabilities. One is that it can be reflected in the surface of water or in a mirror, and one can see that object indirectly through the reflection in the mirror. That's called pratibimba. So an effulgent object has this quality, is it can create pratibimba, it can create a reflection. But also it can leave shadow, it can give shadow. If there's some other object, the bright object is shining, then a shadow will come. That's called abhas, shadow. So we should so every effulgent object has the capability to do these two things. So the holy name is also very effulgent. Krishna is very effulgent. And he has the ability to create reflection, and he has the ability to create a shadow. So if you look in a mirror, can you see your face exactly? No, it's backwards, right? If you look in a mirror, you see reflection, but it's perverted. It's backwards. It's not the actual way your face looks. Similarly, if some effulgent object is reflected in water, you see a tree. In that reflection, you may see a tree. Does that look like an ordinary tree? No, the branches are down and the roots are up. So, but you can see all the details. If you look at your face in the mirror, all the details are there, but it's perverted, backwards. Similarly with the tree. You can see all the leaves, branches, root, all the details, the colors, everything. But it's upside down. So that's the quality of pratibimba. All the details are there, but it's perverted. So, but a shadow has a different quality. A shadow, there's no detail. It's just an outline. Black one place and white another place, right? It's just that some outline is there. So you can see that there's some form, but it's the exact same form. No perversion is there, but it's just details are missing. And another thing about the shadow is the shadow is connected to the original. The tree and the bank of the river, you can see it's connected. So that similarly, the bank of the river and the tree and the reflection, there's some connection there. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm talking about shadow. But if you see a reflection of a tree, it's in the water. It's not in the air. So it's disconnected. So Nama Parad is like Pratibimba, and Nama Bas is like Chaya, like shadow. Nama Parad may appear to be exactly the original thing. Sometimes Mayavadis, they dress like Pakka Vaishnavas, Tilak, holy name, everything. And they perform all the activities of bhakti very nicely. But their goal is to become one with God. So it looks exactly like bhakti, but it is perverted. It's reversed. So Namaparada is like that. The Mayavadis are the biggest aparadis, because they deny the existence of God. So Namaparada may look very much like Shuddhanam, but it's actually perverted. However, Chaya Namavas, the shadow, it doesn't look like bhakti. Ajamil calling Narayan, his son, it didn't look like bhakti. He wasn't worshipping Krishna. He didn't have a desire for serving the Supreme Lord. So it didn't look at all like bhakti. But the shadow that was there, the basic outline was there. And because of that, all of Ajamil's sins were destroyed. So this is the difference between Namaparada and Namavas. If one... Srila Prabhupada instructs in this purport that if one, he says it two different ways. To chant the holy name of the Lord just to counteract one's sinful activities. Okay, I've committed some sin. Okay, now I have to chant in order to counteract those sins, and then I'll be okay. Or I'm thinking, okay, I can go ahead and commit sin because then I can chant and I'll be free from that sin. Those are two kinds of nambolipapbuddhi. I think that's Bengali. But in Sanskrit, it's namno balad yasyahi papabuddhi. To think that one can chant and then become relieved from one's sins. So this is Namaparada. It's true, the holy name chanted like that will counteract the sins, but the offense will cause not only the same reaction as that sin would have caused, but also the heart becomes hard. So the result is even worse than it not having chanted. And just sinning. That nambole papbuddhi will actually free one from sin, but the reaction is worse. All the same reactions one would have gotten from that sin, one will have to suffer. And one's heart also will become hard, and one will become separated from the holy name. Because of that hardness of the heart, then more and more aparas will be committed, and one's sukriti will be destroyed, and one will no longer be qualified for the association of devotees, and Krishna will separate that person from association of devotees. So we should chant. So we should chant with the holy name. We know from this story, Srimad Bhagavatam wants us to understand that the chanting of the holy name will destroy all sinful reactions. But we should not use that as some excuse to go on sinning. Hearing this pastime, we should become very determined to give up sinful activities. Otherwise, we'll be, eventually, someday we'll become bereft of the association of devotees and fall down. One should chant in a humble state of mind, thinking one lower than the straw in the street, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others. In this state of mind, one can chant the holy name constantly. So this is the proper way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs. This is the proper way to chant. Not thinking about being relieved from sinful reactions, but simply thinking about pleasing Krishna. Just with simplicity. Oh, Krishna wants me to chant his holy name. Krishna is very wonderful. He's given me the association of devotees. Through his mercy, I've come to understand about the holy name and the glories of the holy name, and all my sins will be destroyed. So let me just chant for his pleasure with that simplicity. Just some or other for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. Then, if one chants in that mood, then if unknowingly one commits some sin, then there's no reaction. If one is always chanting in that mood, humble mood, of simply wanting to please Guru and Krishna, then if one happens to commit some sin in the course of that chanting, well, that could be you step on some insect or so many different sins can be there in the material world. But unknowingly, if one commits some sin, then by that chanting, there will be no sinful reaction. So, this term, Namabhas, in Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that, just like we have this term Namabhas, there's also the term Bhaktiabhas. And there's also Vaishnava Abhas. Someone who's chanting Namabhas, like Ajamil. So he was chanting, it says, we know from the seventh canto, Prahlad Maharaj story, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam. So these nine processes are called bhakti. So if one does any one of these nine activities, then one is performing bhakti. But if one chants the holy name, even unknowingly, not understanding that it's the holy name, thinking that it's like Ajamil was chanting his son, that's also bhakti, according to the definition of Prahlad Maharaj. But technically, it's called bhakti abhas, because it's the activity of bhakti, but without the understanding, without the internal understanding of that I want to perform bhakti. I'm trying to perform bhakti. Similarly, someone who chants the holy name regularly, like Ajamil was doing, someone chants the holy name regularly, we consider them to be a Vaishnava. But if someone is chanting like Ajamil is chanting, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the term, yes, Vaishnava, but Vaishnava Abhas is a more correct description. In other places it's called, the term uses Vaishnava Praya. near to Vaishnavas. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes, we know the story of Raghunath Das Goswami and his father and uncle, Hiranya and Govardhan, Majumdar. So they were not very much favorable for Raghunath Das' association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But they dressed as Vaishnavas, they wore tilak, they chanted the holy name, but they were doing it because that was their culture. They weren't doing it out of, because they wanted to serve. They had some deep love for Krishna. It was a formality. So they were Vaishnava, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes them as Vaishnava Praya, near to Vaishnava. Therefore, Raghunath Das, he wanted to give up their association and go to the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is Vaishnava Vas and Bhaktya Vas. So these 11th canto Srimad Bhagavatam describes this Bhakti Abhas. Archayam eva haraye pujang yak shradhaye yate natad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakritak smrita. So Bhagavatam describes prakrita bhakta, kanishta bhakta. A kanishta bhakta, he's archayam eva haraye pujang yak shradhaye yate. So he worships the deity with faith. He has some faith in the deity. He comes and worships the deity. But natad bhakteshu chanyeshu, he doesn't have faith in the devotees of Krishna. He doesn't show proper respect to the devotees of Krishna. He gives all respect to the deity, but he doesn't give respect to the devotees. So this is, 11th canto describes this as prakrita bhakta. This is just because, and that shraddha that is exhibited toward the deity, that's also shraddha abhas. It's not. He has faith in the deity, but because he doesn't understand that the devotees are very dear to the deity, therefore his faith is colored. His faith is not on the highest platform. So that's shraddha abhas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes. So how should one chant? One should chant without expecting dharma, artha, kama, or moksha from the chanting. So one may ask, but I'm in household life. I have a family to maintain. Dharma, artha, kama are required in order to prosecute household life. So, is it possible for a householder to chant Shuddha Naam? Is it possible? We have to, a householder always has to be concerned about so many activities within the material world. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Jiva Dharma, he explains that yes, There's no restriction. One can also chant the pure name even in Grihastha Ashram. As long as one has a detached mood. As long as one is not attached to sense gratification. One is performing one's duties within Grihastha Ashram. Out of duty, out of a sense of I have these responsibilities, I have this body, mind, and senses which require maintaining, I have extended family members to maintain. So I should perform my duty, but in detached. Anasaktasya vishayan yataraham upayunjitaha nirbanda krishna sambande yuktang vairagya muchyate. One should develop yukta vairagya. Vairagya, but not like the vairagya of living in the, going to the forest. Not that kind of vairagya. Yukta vairagya. Okay, I'm accepting what's necessary, but I'm not attached. Whatever Krishna's providing, I'm accepting. I'm serving Him. I'm serving Him, and whatever He provides is satisfactory for me. One should have a detached mood. If one is not detached, if one has material desires, then one's chanting will be offensive. So, if one's chanting is offensive, then one will not get immediately the full benefit of the chanting. So what is the process? One may ask, what is the process? I'm chanting offensively. I'm not getting the full benefit of the holy name. So if we give up this Nam Boli Pap Buddhi and we are very careful to avoid offenses as far as possible and remain in the association of devotees, chant in the association of devotees, then even though one may be chanting Namaparad, eventually one will become purified by the association of devotees. And one will become purified, and eventually one will come to the stage of chanting the pure holy name, Shuddhanam. But if one chants the holy name and association of Mayavadis, Namaparadis, those who are not aspiring to give up the 10 offenses, then one may chant in that association, but in that association it's not possible to come to the stage of Shuddhanam. So one must be very careful to seek out pure devotees and associate with them. We should respect all devotees, of course. Even someone who's chanting the holy name with offensive mentality, We show them respect. Yes, they're chanting the holy name, the name of my master. So we show them respect, and ultimately the holy name will help them. But we should keep our distance. We should not associate with them closely. Otherwise, our offensive chanting will continue. One moment, we will not become purified. So there's one very nice section from Prema Vivarta that Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes in his Jiva Dharma on this topic. So I thought we would conclude with these words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Jodi koribe Krishna nama saru sangakar bhukti mukti siddhi vancha dure parihar. If you want to chant pure Krishna nam, then take sadhu sangha, and at the same time fully relinquish all desires for enjoyment, liberation, and mystic perfections. Jodi koribe Krishna nama sadhu sangakar bhukti mukti siddhi vancha dure parihar. Keep bhukti mukti siddhi vancha, the desire for bhukti mukti siddhi, at a distance. Dure parihar. Then take association of sadhus, and then chant the holy name. This is how one should chant the holy name. Dasa aparada tyaja mana apaman anasakte vishay bhunja arlaha krishnanam. So remain free from the 10 offenses. Dasa aparada tyaja mana apaman. Give up mana, give up false pride. Give up apaman, give up contempt for others. Don't be disrespectful to others. These three things, dasa aparad tyaja, give up the 10 offenses, give up mana, pride, give up disrespect for others. Anasakte vishaya bunja arlaha krishnanam. So, accept sense objects. We can, vishaya bunja, okay, we can accept vishaya, but anasakti, without attachment. And laha krishnanam, chant the holy name somehow or other. Krishna bhaktir anukul sabha karaha srikar, Krishna bhaktir patikul sab kar parihar. Whatever is favorable for bhakti, Krishna bhakti anukul sabha karaha srikar, we should accept that. Something's favorable for bhakti, we should accept that. And if something's pratikul, something's not favorable for bhakti, then we keep it at a distance. Because it may hinder our practice of Krishna bhakti. Jnana yoga cheshta chara ar karma sangha markata vairagya taja jate deha ranga. Abandon all endeavors for karma, jnana, and yoga. Don't aspire for karma, heavenly planets, yoga, jnana. Don't aspire for these things. And keep aloof from attachment to markata vairagya. Don't try to be a false renunciate either. So you renounce karma, jnana, and yoga, but don't be a false renunciate. Don't be a monkey renunciate. And then it goes on to say, Krishna amaye pale rakshe Jana Sarvakal, Atma Nivedan, Dainye, Guchao, Janajal. At all times have this full faith. Krishna will certainly maintain and protect me. Adopt the qualities of Sharanagati, headed by Dainya, humility, and Atma Nivedana, full surrender of oneself at Krishna's lotus feet. For practicing these six types of loving self-surrender destroys the web of Maya. So, we should always maintain this idea that Krishna will always protect me. If we don't have that faith, how can we give up karma, jnana, yoga? Unless we have full faith that Krishna will protect me. If I give up something within this material world for service of Krishna, will I be the loser? No. Krishna will always protect a surrendered soul. And always be humble and self-surrendered at the lotus feet of Krishna. Then the web of Maya will be destroyed. And one will come to the stage of pure chanting of the holy name. Sadhu Pabha Kashtabara Jivara Janiya Sadhu Bhakta Rupe Krishna Ayala Nadiya. It is very rare that the jiva can receive sadhu sangha. Sadhu Pabha Kashta Bara Jivara Janiya. How many lives one has to live before one can have sadhu sangha? So because of that, Sadhu Bhakta Rupe Krishna Ayala Nadiya. So Krishna came to Nadiya, came to Mayapur in the form of a devotee. Because sadhu sangha is very rare. So he came to in the form of a sadhu. Krishna took the form of a sadhu in order to give sadhu sangha to all the devotees and teach them how to serve Krishna. Krishna himself has done that. Gora para ashray karaha buriman gora bhai sadhu guru keva achayan. Therefore, O intelligent people, take shelter of Sri Gaura's feet. Who is a greater sadhu or guru than him? He is Krishna himself. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is guru. He's our supreme guru. And he's come and he's given his instructions to the whole world. That is why in this age, anyone can chant the holy name and achieve the highest benefit. No formalities required. No initiation required. No Vedic rituals required. Nothing. Kuch nahi. One only has to chant the holy name. And one doesn't have to even take initiation in order to chant. It's fully available to everyone. Why? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he gave Krishna Nam, the holy name, to the whole world. Then one more verse. Vairagi bhai gramya kata na shunibe kane gramya varta na kahibe jabe milibe an. My renounced brother, if you sometimes meet with others, do not hear or discuss mundane topics. So that's after saying all this wonderful, then he's, Bhaktivinoda is preaching to the renunciates. Gramya kata na shunibe, gramya varta na kahibe. Don't. If you want to chant pure holy name, give up this gramya katha. Don't discuss mundane topics. Don't hear news about mundane events. And fill your life up completely with the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada's book distribution, ki jai. December marathon, ki jai. Questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your wonderful class. Wanted to know about this Pratibimba and shadow. You said one is having details. Pratibimba gives details of the main object.
Yes.
And shadow doesn't give the details.
Yes.
Of the main object.
Yes.
So how it is, how it functions with holy name? So
Well, if someone is chanting the holy name, as a Mayavadi is chanting the holy name, he may appear to be performing bhakti. He, wearing cloth and tilak and worshipping the deity and Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, all those things are there. But his goal is to merge with Krishna. So there's no bhakti. So all the details are there of bhakti. It looks exactly like bhakti, but it's backwards, like a reflection. There's many organizations there who promote the chanting of the holy name. But some of them are, some of them promote the holy name, but their goal is Mayavad. Their goal is to achieve merging with Krishna. There's other Namaparadis that they're committed to. They have a certain conception of chanting the holy name, that it gives you happiness in the material world. So if you associate, it may look like bhakti, but if you associate there, you'll not get the real thing. You're going to get some perverted thing.
Okay. You said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and he has given this holy name. No considerations required. No rules, regulations, no even initiation.
Right.
But then we find that the holy name doesn't carry a potency unless it is connected to some parampara. So then, how that?
In this age, if one Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has himself started a parampara.
But I should be connected to some parampara.
Yeah, we should be connected with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if somehow or other, we're connected with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and we're chanting the holy name, then we're getting the full benefit, whether we're initiated or rules and regulations. Those are details. Of course, our institution, ISKCON, promotes rules and regulations initiation because that helps to keep people fixed. But actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is not just available here. It's available to anyone who chants. Available. And they can get the full benefit.
Hare Krishna. Guruji, I have two questions. I have two questions, both related to the same two questions. First you mentioned, explained about Nama Parad, how the Mayavadis and they have Kirtans and everything, but it is just Nama Parad. But Namabhas, then I was thinking that which is advanced stage. So, details are missing in the shadow.
In what?
The details are missing in the shadow.
Yes, Namabhas.
So, if somebody is chanting Namabhas, then do we understand that, he is not doing Kirtan, or how these details, what kind of details are missing in Namabhas, that shadow?
Well, the example is Ajamil. He was doing kirtan, but it didn't look like kirtan. He was just calling his son. But it was actually kirtan. Isn't that the example?
Yeah.
Okay.
There is one small point in that then it appears that I'm at the stage of Nama Parad and trying hopefully to go further. But then somebody who is not just bothered only. But somebody who is not bothered only, he's not bothered.
Not bothered.
Yeah, not bothered. So
about Nama Parad.
Yeah, so like Ajamil. So he's not bothered only about bhakti or chanting holy names. He is advanced stage. He is on the advanced stage.
He had to do bhakti in order to become liberated. He got relief from his sins. But this will, the later the story will explain that he got relief from his sins. He didn't have to go to Yamaraj, but he had to go to the Himalayas and do austerities in order to, and then the airplane came to take him back to Vaikuntha. He had to do bhakti.
Yeah. Okay, so like that was the second part. To go back to spiritual world, he had to perfect his devotional service.
Yes.
Which he did later.
Yeah.
But like even Namabhas, so I was asking that we are trying little bit. It appears that we are trying that and we are in stage of Nama Parad and it's taking so much time. Then how do we understand that? Okay, he chanted on Abha Bahas and then, you know, all his sins and everything is finished.
Well,
so this appears to be kind of partiality.
You want to answer? Okay.
I don't think I'm capable of answering, but I just want to share something which I felt. I think when you're talking of Nama Bhas, you're making a limited point that your sins are being mitigated.
Yeah.
What you're trying to do here, even if it may appear to be Nama Prad, you're actually trying and aspiring for bhakti, which is far higher than what this person was doing. So I don't think these two are comparable. What you're trying to aspire here is bhakti, which is far higher than what these people are doing.
Yeah.
And
Shraddha bhakti as opposed to bhakti abhas. Yeah.
And though, because you are in a humble state, you feel that you are in the Namaprad state. Actually, where you are, only your guru and Krishna will be knowing.
Well, Namaprad may be there, but by the association of devotees, those Namaprads will go.
So actually where Prabhuji is, he probably is way beyond...
I'm here only for his association.
Absolutely.
To become purified of my aparads.
Prabhuji like his point. So, but Namabhas is, we know that Namabhas is advanced stage. So Ajamil, how
no,
he
it's
did?
Not advanced stage. It's like a shadow. It had you the because the, you get relief from sin, but relief from sin. So what? We want bhakti. We want Krishna. It's not such an advanced stage.
But even to come to this stage of Namabhas, we are struggling and not started even, you know, to struggle.
Your sins are being destroyed also, just like Ajamil's.
But Namaparad is bringing many more reactions, as you were mentioning there.
No, you're not. But as long as you avoid Namnad Balad Yasyahi Papa Buddhi, as long as you're not committing that offense, then your sins are being destroyed. Whatever sin you accidentally commit is being destroyed by your chanting. Okay?
Yeah. One more very small thing.
Okay.
Regarding that second question Roji asked. So, I read this book, Sri Namamrit. So, Vaishnava Prabhupada's comments are there, quotes are there about holy name. So, towards the end of the book, there is a chapter where Srila Prabhupada quotes this from Madhya Leela, chapter 15, text 108, where he quotes Rupa Goswami mentioning Badyavali, that you don't need initiation and all. Although Rupa Goswami says Gurupada Ashraya also at the same time. But Srila Prabhupada, in the next, in that book, because it is a compilation, so they have given two references from Bhagavatam. One, I think, from 6th canto or one from somewhere else. So in which Srila Prabhupada, both places mentions the same thing, that all the Rupa Goswami has said in Padyavali like this. But in this age, so Srila Prabhupada is not telling about one movement. He is telling in this age, people are exceptionally fallen. So they need Panchratri Vidhi also. And then he was referring to how they need initiation also.
Yes.
In that
as a general rule, yes, that's
in this
required.
Age like
but we should admit, we should understand that there is a possibility. It's very rare. But there is a possibility that without following rules and regulations, one can chant purely and go back home, back to God. We should understand. It's possible. For us, it's not possible because we're very, you know, it's not possible. But it is, but shastrically, it is possible. Theoretically, we should understand.
My thought came, Prabhupada, because you were mentioning that within ISKCON only we are concerned about this because it helps us to fix together and remain as an institution. But then Srila Prabhupada mentions in that point that it is applicable for the whole age. The current age is so, people are so exceptionally fallen. Exceptionally impure that day. So that was like a small point coming.
Yes, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with Srila Prabhupada, but he's speaking generally.
Yeah.
He's speaking in general terms.
Generally for everybody, like very some exceptions as you mentioned, maybe they're okay.
Yeah. It's possible. So we don't criticize others.
Yeah.
We should understand that if someone's chanting, we should give them all respect. We should not criticize them.
Yeah.
There was another question here.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. In previous Rishti, we can see that Hiranyakashipu and Kamsa, they chanted holy name in offensive way. But finally, we say that they are liberated. So how it is possible? Because they chanted offensive way, Lord name. They don't have any bhakti. But they also, get liberated.
Who was that example?
Hiranyakashipu and Kamsa. Kamsa. Hiranyakashipu.
Hiranyakashipu.
And Kamsa.
And Kamsa. So now I understand. So what is the question? I can't hear. They chanted aggressively, offensively, and they got liberation. Because they were killed by Krishna.
Though they killed, but finally they got liberation. That is...
Yeah, finally they got liberation because they were so offensive that Krishna came to kill them.
But I heard that they also do indirect bhakti.
Well, Kamsa, his whole life, is after the incident with Devaki, right? His whole life he was meditating on Krishna. How am I going to kill Krishna? He was meditating like that. So he became... That's also Namabhas. That's also Namabhas. He became purified by that. There was no question of sin for him. Kamsa, I don't know about Hiranyakashipu, I'd have to think about it, but definitely Kamsa was completely purified of all sins by constantly thinking of Krishna.
And Hiranyakashipu, he said that there is no God, I am only God. So he didn't consider Krishna. But he always chant where is your Narayan?
I'm not an expert on that. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.